Hello and welcome to Shaman Sister Sessions, episode 103. I'm Michelle Hawk and I'm here with my shaman sister, Catherine Bird. And today we are so excited to bring you special guest, Aishel Hill. We'll be speaking with her about initiations of the feminine path. And Catherine and I have both known Aishel for a couple of years, and we've been in meditative and ceremonial context with her. She has a lot of really powerful gifts and presence to offer. She has such a beautiful heart. And Aishel is an expert guide of meditative journeys, and she incorporates over 20 years of shamanic healing with her own special brand of one-of-a-kind practices, as well as a holistic body-mind healing approach. So she also works with sacred movement, ritual, and ceremony practices, and she'll be sharing some of that magic with us here today. So Aishel, thank you so much for joining us. It's really such a wonderful pleasure to have you here in our Shaman Sister Sessions container today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, very excited to be here with you both and everyone who is watching it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Kat, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. We were just talking about how we scheduled this conversation so long ago that I think we've probably gone through some further initiations just since we scheduled our talk. But we really wanted to tune in with you about these initiations on the feminine path, meaning, you know, as women primarily, all of our different archetypes and the ways that we are initiated through our life and the ways that we are approaching our spiritual path and how we are, you know, constantly given these opportunities to dive even more deeply into ourselves and learn about ourselves and what it means to be a woman and to be in the feminine energy and to be living that in the world. And so you're such a beautiful representation of that. And I know that you're a new mom. And so you've been going through your initiations and also initiating women in their path and working with themselves and their bodies and so on. So it's really happy to have you here.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I feel that we are collectively going towards more feminine energy. I don't know how you both feel about it. And even the current crisis that we're going through is a big feminine initiation, a remembrance into more inward energies and listening and letting die what needs to die and letting new life spring forth. And I think the whole world is getting a big dose of feminine medicine right now, collectively.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So it makes more sense than ever that we all, whether regardless of what type of body we live in, if we live in a cisgendered female body or a cisgendered male body or trans body, no matter what, we all have access to these feminine energies, and there are certain corresponding pieces in a cisgendered woman's body that are corresponding with these initiations. So and I want you to keep that in mind today as you're tuning in and listening or watching this, that we're coming at this from kind of the dual perspective of feminine energy, regardless of what type of body you're living in. And we're also talking about some of these initiations that are correlated with rites of passage that a woman's body moves through, such as menstruation. And, you know, Aishel, you recently became a mother, right? And moving through these different initiations that way.
Yeah, what I find it really interesting in this conversation is that we both have the masculine and feminine, of course, but as women, we are built in with this clock that is a cyclical energy and is a cyclical wisdom that we can observe both in our bodies and also in nature. And what I find interesting about observing it is that we can kind of anticipate and also prepare ourselves for what is coming. So it's not just like being into this, oh, everything's changing, I don't know what's going to happen. Of course, trusting that everything is changing and there's the unknown is always there, but there are things that can be known. And we are remembering together as women to observe those cycles. It's this ancient wisdom, great grandmothers that have been cut off somehow and from our consciousness and from our reclaiming that and deconstructing all the stories around dirtiness and shame and the pain and the pain in our bodies and all that. I think my role, what I like to do, is to encourage women and also inspire them to embrace this beautiful built-in wisdom that we have in our bodies with our cycles and with our power to create life. Yeah.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is so important because we have been so shut off and systematically shut off from each other, from our, you know, our feminine communities coming together to hold space for these initiations that we go through of menstruation and birth and moving into being a crone and trans, you know, going through these transformative times. We have been, it's been very much on purpose that has been pulled away from us. And then there is this very much this need. And I think this feeling that we're having that we need to reclaim these ancient knowings and these knowings of the body and the body's intelligence and our own feminine wisdom in order to be in, come back into alignment, and that there has to be some connection, right, between our own reclaiming of ourselves and our initiations and our processes and our bodies and the larger context of what's happening out in the world and our relationship with nature, our relationship with our, you know, our brothers and as well. So it feels like it's the potent moment when we get to reclaim and we get to remember and we get to come back to ourselves in this new way.
Yeah, I think the key thing about all of that is a deep feminine quality that is listening. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look into the masculine and feminine paradigms of energy, you know, like when think about the yin and yang, how the masculine is the active, the energy that springs forward, and the feminine is the vessel, is in the receptive, is listening, and it's listening to be able to attune and to resonate with and to multiply that energy that is the energy of creation. So I think collectively, this moment we're living is a moment of deep listening. And as women, I haven't been taught it when I was a child, you know, like, oh, you're going to get your period and you can count the days, you can note your emotions and you can observe how it goes and you can observe the foods you eat, how it's going to interact with your body. I haven't been taught that. And for me, for instance, just the period, you know, like the bleeding each month was a burden, was something that I didn't like at all. I hated it. And it took me a lifetime and becoming a mother and to really, really learn to love it and to really see it as a precious moment of the month. And not only just the moment of the bleeding, but the whole cycle. Like every part of the cycle is a gift, is a moment where we can observe the transition. It's like what we observe in the outside world, like the transition between the seasons, the transition of the moon phases and our own bodies. It's all replicated in a hologram and we can really tune in and start to listen. And it's beautiful because it's like a orchestra. And we can become more like a partner with that orchestra instead of fighting it. And I think, yeah, this deep acceptance and learning to flow with the flow that's already happening.
Mm-hmm. That's a big, I love how you're painting that, right? Like looking at we have access to the microcosm of this universal cycle of expansion and contraction, of death and rebirth, and essentially the menstrual cycle is the perfect analog for all of these cycles of energy and creation that are existing everywhere outside of us. And I totally hear you, Aishel. I was also in the same boat of like, oh, it's a huge inconvenience and the cramping and just being uncomfortable, right? It's, you know, there is inherently that threshold of like, don't want to deal with it, that, you know, we in Western society, we're trained that like it's something to be embarrassed about, or it's something to hide, or to, you know, pretend like nothing's happening. It's almost like a sign of weakness, right? Of if you're, you know, you're tired, or you feel like you need to take a couple days off. But I've found personally a lot of liberation in planning less to do around that week. It's like, if I just need to take a few days off, that's totally fine. And with this, with treating it as part of this process in the cycle of creation, it's been a lot more fun and a lot more freeing. And that has, as you're talking about, just learning and listening, right? Listening to the body, listening to these, you know, to these, not only what's happening within the body, but also taking everything that I know about how creation magic works and applying it to this natural cycle. And I'm curious, what are some of your favorite tools or practices or questions that you'd like to invite people to ask around this? If, you know, so, and here, just to zoom back out for a moment, we're talking about initiations of the feminine, right? This is historically, depending on what culture or tradition you grow up in, moving into having your menstruation is one of these kind of first primary initiations of the feminine path, where you're moving from, you know, from being a very young child into maidenhood, right? That's, you know, this next stage before motherhood, right? But it's this access to fertility and access to abundance and like this potential of creation. What either rites of passage or practices or awarenesses would you love to offer to people to bring to their menstruation, so that maybe if they're feeling a little challenged around that, they can start to change that relationship?
Yeah, of course. I think the first step, something that it seems may seem obvious, but for many people it's not, is just to note and to track, you know, keep a track of what is the first day of your bleeding, and then observe over the course of many months, how many days is your cycle? How many, you know, like there is no a right number, you know, but there is a range between 28 to 35 days, which is considered to be normal as a cycle. And that is already a big tool for awareness, for you to observe if there anything changes, like you get a longer cycle or a shorter cycle, you can start questioning if there is anything in your life that's influencing it, because our cycles are influenced by our sleep patterns, for our food, our stress levels. You know, it's just such a delicate balance of hormones and the triggers and the brain and the, you know, our emotions and how we respond to the world outside of us, that this is really like a self-study. So I think the first tool is just to note the first day of your cycle and count the days. And then after that, there are so many different ways of studying it, with different graphics and mandala wheels, where you can put the days of your ovulation. And I really got into that, into tracking and studying, when I wanted to get pregnant, and was taking a little bit long, because I was older already when I was trying to get pregnant, around 37, 38 years old. And it didn't happen super fast. And I was like, okay, so when am I fertile? Because many women may not know, but our fertile window is only 12 hours in the whole month. It's like, I don't know how we get here. You know, we're like almost 8 billion people on this planet, and we can only get pregnant for 12 hours in a whole month. So the body prepares itself, like, and, you know, gradually to that window to open. And something that I learned in one of the courses that I of fertility that I attended a few years ago, is that the womb itself, it goes from like a laying down position, a horizontal position, to a vertical position as we get fertile. So, you know, the female anatomy is just so beautiful. You have the vagina and the channel, and then the womb with the cervix, it really like lays down like that. And because of the hormones, it is like a flower opening. It's like a dance, and then it goes back. So this is another thing that I like to do into the menstrual cycles, is to observe the position of my womb. And to do that, it requires a certain level of comfort and feeling that you're safe to do it, because it's through the touch. You insert your fingers and you can touch the cervical opening, and you can feel the different texture and the position and the opening of the cervix itself, because it changes through the cycle. So when you're fertile, it is very open and it's soft and it's like ready to receive the seed to conceive a baby. And if that doesn't happen, your body triggers all different sorts of hormones, and the womb gets back to the place, and then there's a shedding of the lining of the uterus. And it's just like such an invisible process, but this is something that I like to do in meditation, is to go with my consciousness and look into those dark, you know, invisible places with my mind's eye, just trying to feel it. And it can be very psychedelic, just if you really tune in and meditate long enough, you can start to really feel those energies, because I think this is one of the most beautiful things in shamanism, is that the inner journeys, they take you out of the ordinary reality, and you really can deep go deep into your microcosm, and is as vast as the macrocosm. So those are a few practices that I like to do as a cycle observation. Yeah,
I love that. And then to be really forming that much like deeper intimacy with yourself, just by making that sort of consistent connection, reconnecting down into the womb and into the root, and paying attention, and instead of having the relationship to it that, you know, it's something to be fixed or something to be you know, ignored, like Michelle is saying, or something that, you know, there's something wrong, or there's, you know, all of these stories that are so connected into that space, that we have the opportunity just through that really gentle awareness and touch and being present with, like, so much healing that could open up and occur through just those, just what you've given us so far could just unwind an incredibly beautiful healing journey for someone.
I love that. And Aishel, something that you were sharing is, it feels like there's a lot of focus on trying to not get pregnant, right? For obvious reasons, right? We don't ideally, you know, people are not having unwanted pregnancies. And yet I look at, there's also this associated rejection of our own fertile power and our own creative power that comes with that. And so what you're describing is, you were talking about this being that aware and that attuned to the subtleties of our own fertility. It's not just about our fertility in terms of creating a human child. It's our fertility in terms of our ability to manifest, or womanifest for this episode. We're going to go there. and our ability to be really magical creators of whatever it is. And so looking at, you know, I want to invite people, you know, maybe you're not out to create a human child right now in this moment. And that's, you know, that's great. Wherever you are in this journey is wonderful. And yet we're always in this process of creation. So invitation to, and I know I'm going to practice this based on this conversation. I'm very attuned to the rhythms of creation and the cycles of manifestation, but this extra awareness of, okay, what seeds can I plant in myself in terms of affirmations and ideas and energies to be even more intentional about not only the rhythms outside of me, such as the lunar cycle and the seasons, etc., but my own body to support that becoming and creation in an even more powerful way. So I'm inviting all of you as you're tuning in to, as Aishel was talking about, not only start tracking, but start thinking about what seeds do you want to plant during that time of heightened fertility, and how can that blow your mind with the magic and possibility and potential?
It's for sure so beautiful, and a very keen observation, you know, like as with the time just before of our menstrual cycle, we can get a little bit more tired, you know, like all those PMS, the symptoms, you know, they're just like signs of our body saying to us, okay, it's time to slow down, take care, you know, have your little soup, take your bath, and just your yin yoga, whatever it is that is going to bring you into that reflection. And the same thing when you're in your ovulation is, you know, you're radiant. It's the moment to go out there and to talk to people and to share what you want to bring into the world. You're magnetic, you know, in that moment. And but it's not, that doesn't mean that this is the most important part of the cycle. You know, I think this is a storytelling that I personally wanted to deconstruct, because our paradigm that's dying right now values so much just like the youth and the fertility, and women, we are only have values when we are young and we are, you know, beautiful, like into the lenses of whatever standards that are, you know, but all the whole cycle is precious and it is sacred. It is, it has equal importance and equal value. You know, it's just learning to, you know, like farmers do, they are not going to plant a seed in the winter. They wait until it gets warmer and the land gets receptive. And it's the same thing with us, to take those, that time to pay attention and to give ourselves time to rest and give ourselves time to dream. And then when it's time for action, we know it's time for action, and then we go and we plant our seeds and we go and we talk to people. And that's the way of being, like, I would say psycho intelligent, just throwing this term right now, just kind of came to me, and being psycho intelligent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Psycho intelligent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That feels so important. And so valuable right now. I know that we talk about cycles of power a lot. We've done several episodes where we've talked about cycles of power and initiations, and how linked that these things are in our life, you know, day to day. And if we're paying attention, you know, and being this like cycle intelligence, as you're saying, like we're paying attention to what's happening outside and what's happening in nature. And then also paying attention to what's happening inside and what's happening internally, then all of a sudden we've truly tapped into the ability to understand the way we create and the way that we but then also the way that we rest and the way that, you know, we can create in a different way to combat these stories that we've been given about how we should show up, you know, 115% every single day, and, you know, go, 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 and produce. And it's not actually in alignment with the cyclical way that nature works. And, you know, we've been battling really hard instead of allowing our innate intelligence to guide us in our ways of moving through the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I understand also that for many women, the womb can be a place very charged with trauma. Mm-hmm. And I think collectively, again, as women, we are carrying a big burden of thousands and thousands of years of oppression. And is, you know, if we start to journey, you know, in plant medicines or meditation or rituals, like, we're going to touch it, you know. And this is our path. I think when we decide to come into this planet, because I really believe that we choose to come into this planet, and we choose to come with a women's body physiologically able to bring life, even if we decide to not have a child, we are carrying and that trauma, and we are here to look at it and to release it, And I think I would like to give another advice about it, because myself, in my shamanic journeys and different experiences, I saw a lot of darkness and pain and war. And I come from my father's side, from a lineage of Polish people. And that land is like a battlefield between Germany and Russia. And it's just like Eastern Europe. It's very charged, but many other places in the world, you know, like even here in North America, what happened with indigenous people, like basically all over the world, women have been abused. And I feel that our womb is a direct reflection of the earth. It's like we carry a part of the earth in our bodies. And all those wars, they somehow are, they are kind of energetically imprinted in our wombs. And this is, for me, it has been a process of releasing that that trauma with meditation, with prayer, with visualizing light and love in there. So a simple practice that I always like to share whenever I have the word is a simple practice of first time when you wake up in the morning, you put your hands in your lower belly and you take a deep breath just even before you open your eyes, and you say a super powerful mantra that goes like, I love you. And I love you. And you just say that I love you with really the intention of your heart, for the overflowing cup of your heart to reach into your womb and heal whatever is there. Because sometimes I feel like in the healings, we want to understand all parts of the healing and why it happened. And, you know, who are the agents and, you know, like all these stories. But sometimes it's as simple as forgiving and saying, I love you, and I'm here to hold you and support you and to carry you inside of my body with love, you know. And I think this is one of my power practices that I like to share with women.
Beautiful.
Yeah, this feels so important. And even if you're not a woman, that can still be a really powerful practice. You know, I used to have a men's coaching practice, and one of the things that I've found is that there's, you know, such an energetic womb for men as well in the same area, carrying shame and carrying trauma and carrying like connection to the feminine as well. That is because we're all so linked and we're also so connected. So it's that connection into the womb force, I believe, even for the masculine to start to bring that into their awareness in their own practices, can also help to, so that we can all start to embody this love of the feminine inside of us, that it's not just something for, it's not just something for women, that we're all moving into maybe becoming more in appreciation and loving respect for the feminine nature in all of us.
Mm-hmm. More cycle intelligence. Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and Aishel, you were mentioning also, and going off of what you were saying, this this is applicable to everybody. And, you know, we've been living in a society that has been operating under the go, go, go all the time, which is inherently a little bit more of a masculine energy, not a gendered masculine concept, but that driving force. You know, don't take a day off, don't rest, don't be in contraction, be in expansion all the time, push, 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 right? And look where it's gotten us, people, right? Look where right now in this moment, you know, we're recording today on April 21st, 2020. And this, we are being shown in a very dramatic way that this constant pushing, constant striving is literally killing us. And so this initiation, we are all right now in this, it's almost as if the entire planet right now is on their moon. Everybody's staying home and having this, like being more in their own space, this aspect of like quarantine, right? And so, and some people are, you know, it's driving them up the walls, and some people are, you know, really loving that space. So really invitation to notice, how do you respond to these different points in the cycle? And what is it like, maybe if it's a new experience for you, to really honor this piece of contraction? And as I was saying earlier, you know, I used to really reject that. I used to be like, no, I have to, you know, just take my ibuprofen and like shoulder on through, right? And just pretend like nothing's wrong, because it, you know, if I do, it means that I'm weak, or it means that, you know, it's some aspect of something's wrong. But how would we collectively benefit, especially those of us, whether we're men or women or whoever, but especially if there is resistance to this aspect of slowing down and this presence and listening and contraction and being present in the full part of the cycle, what is being asked of you? What invitation is available for you to attune to this womb energy, either in the physical space of your womb or the energetic space of your womb, if you don't have one for whatever reason? And know that that energy is available to all beings, regardless of your gender.
Yeah. And, you know, not to say only that we all came from a womb, except if you believe in conspiracy theories and, you know, there's some other kind of life form that didn't come from wombs. But as mammals and humans, we all spent quite a few moons inside of a body, a female body, inside of a womb is our first home, is our first vessel. It's just so beautiful. I get like really emotional thinking about it, you know, like especially having experienced that as in my pregnancy, of a caring life and the amount of love and the amount of care, you know, like just remembering something that, you know, like we forget, you know, we forget the time we spent on the womb, we forget, but it is there somewhere in our subconscious mind, in the deep cellular memory of our bodies. It is there, that space of feeling completely loved, feeling completely provided for, feeling completely nourished and safe, you know. I know that there are different kinds of pregnancy too that are not super optimal, but still, like, this is like a safe vessel for our incarnation, and this an amazing technology that, you know, we didn't figure out how to create a full human outside of the womb yet. There are some parts of the process that can be created in a petri dish, but not all of it. We still need the body, and reconnecting with that wisdom and like that deep, deep ancestral memory that it is here. And I think it's just about the tuning in and focusing on where it's like, I really like, for me, I get a lot of information just about focusing my attention on that, you know, during shamanic journeys, during meditation. Of course, I read books and I love books, but that space of really dropping in, it's like, I want to connect with that space where I was inside of my mother's womb and I was inside of my grandmother's womb, because you probably heard of this story, but maybe some of the people who are listening didn't. But when I heard that, I felt so amazing. It's like we were inside of the womb of our grandmothers. Like not metaphorically, like physically, the cell, the egg cell that originated your body was inside of the ovary of your mother when she was a baby, inside of the womb of your grandmother. So there is, like, if you believe in resonance and in vibration, like you were already recording the world, you know, like through the body of your grandmother, through the waters of the body of your grandmother, inside of the baby body of your mother, and you're already here much before, like your physical body was here long before you came. And there is a lot of information, there is a lot of wisdom, there's a lot of trauma, but also beautiful stories that we can tap in when we start to see ourselves outside of a finite linear existence and story. So the invitation into going into the womb space is to expand our perception of our cyclical but also infinite way of beings in time and space.
Yeah. I love that. And we can also go the other way and say within, you know, within our womb right now or within the ovaries, we already have all of the eggs that we'll ever produce. So if, yes, you know, either if you already have children or if you eventually have children, then knowing that their experience is, as you were saying, also receiving resonance right now through, you know, through this lived experience, even though their body hasn't come into being yet, some part of that physicality already exists on this earth.
Yeah.
So Aishel, I'm curious, let's shift gears a little bit because, you know, we're talking about initiations of the feminine and knowing that Mother's Day is coming up here pretty soon, which is partially why we wanted to speak with you in this time frame and talking about this topic in general, initiations of the feminine path, but also motherhood as one of these initiations. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that experience has gone for you, how you're supporting people, and what is that initiation of motherhood?
Well, I became a mother about a year ago. My baby was born on May 1st in 2019. He's going to be 1 year old like next week. The initiation for me, I can talk in a personal way. It was something that took a long time. And I don't know. I think it's our culture, you know, of being like, oh, you need to have your career together and you need to have like a stable this, a stable that before you have children. You know, like I think generations before we were like, oh, okay, you're young, you're fertile and you have a partner, you have a baby, you know. And then I think we've been postponing it so much, like trying to control it and trying to frame it in a way that's convenient for our production-oriented society. And for myself, it was a big healing process because I had an abortion when I was 22. And I was with a partner that didn't want to have children. And it was like very fast. I didn't even have time to think about it. And I had 10 years of healing that wound of afraid of getting pregnant again, afraid of not having a partner that would be with me. And I think the transition into motherhood was something that I really called in, you know, calling like a reconnection with my body, healing the trauma of abortion, tracking my cycles, and finding a partner that is there for me and that didn't also wanted a child. And it was very conscious in every step of the way. And I think this is awesome. And I also understand that sometimes this initiation comes in unwanted times. And I think we should always see it as a gift. It doesn't matter if you decide to keep the child or not keep the child, it comes to teach you something. And for me, it taught me to really love my body and really honor the wisdom of my body and to tap into this power of creation that is beyond what I can understand intellectually and that I could only feel it through my bones expanding, through the hormonal shifts, through this accumulation of liquids inside of my body. It's something that, you know, you can understand kind of with your mind, but leaving it from the inside and witnessing it with reverence, I think it is, yeah, it opens this power, a path of honoring the body and honoring life in a deep way. And somehow for me, when I gave birth and I would just, you know, after I recovered and I would go on the street and I would see every person and I was like, wow, everybody came here through the same process and everybody was a little baby like my baby right now, and every woman has the potential to live this. So it kind of also connected me with a larger web of wisdom and larger web of power. It's not just a personal thing. It's it kind of you know, at some point I wrote that I'm weaving my stories into the fabric of the collective human history, and bringing the ancestral lineages and into, you know, into the future, being a portal to bringing the ancestors back into this world. And yeah, there's so much that comes with it. But I think, yeah, if I would say, like, resume, this like a tapping into an enormous amount of power that is not just for personal use, but for really for helping and sharing and cherishing all women and all mothers.
It's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
I don't.
Yeah. We're just like, oh, it's so beautiful.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just such a beautiful way that you express that and offered it in that way of initiation and that knowing that there's, you know, all of these different initiations connected to motherhood in that way, right? That even having a pregnancy that doesn't result in a baby for whatever reason is always like that is such a huge initiation for women, and the ways that we make decisions about our fertility or about having babies and so on. Those are all initiations that are gone through that we get to, you know, sometimes very challenging and very painful experiences that we have in relationship to this, but ultimately in some way to be seen as, you know, a womb initiation to give us, you know, greater clarity and understanding and hopefully healing in some way.
Yeah. And I can tell that, you know, like the way I describe it is like, oh, it's really awesome. I had an awesome pregnancy. Because also like I planned like, and I did a lot of yoga and I went for a lot of walks. I have like all, you know, like women contact me a lot to know how they can have a healthy, happy pregnancy, because sometimes it's challenging, you know, like when you look into the initiation, it starts with the first trimester when you get pregnant and you don't look pregnant, but it is the worst time of the pregnancy because you're nauseous and you're tired, you want to sleep, and you're like, oh my God, like I'm pregnant and there is a baby coming. It's like, do I have everything together? Do I have what it takes? Am I ready? You know, those are all questions that pop up. And also there's a lot of darkness that comes into that moment of the first trimester that needs to be purged. I talked to many other moms and they were like, yeah, the first trimester is filled with like deep shadow work and inner work in that sense, because you are starting that process of transformation. You're starting that initiation, and that initiation starts with a lot of uncertainty and this big shift in your hormones and your body creating a new life. And it's not easy sometimes. I had a relatively easy first trimester. I didn't have much nausea, but emotionally it was a storm. And I had to review many of my assumptions and my fears and journal and cry a lot, you know, like imagine like the first trimesters is like your PMS multiplied by 100, you know, because it's just like you don't shed, like the period doesn't come. And so it continues, your body continues putting on the progesterone, and your body, like you feel like you're like electric, like your body's like electrical, and your boobs are bursting, and it's like, you know, like it's really, really intense. But there are ways, again, when you know the cycles and that you know that it's going to last for 3 months and you plan accordingly, you know, like if you can talk to people like, okay, I'm pregnant, even I don't show that I'm pregnant, but I need to sleep. And I think this is like a crazy thing still in our society, because like when you're pregnant and like you have a regular job, I'm blessed to not have like a regular job. I don't go to the office, but I can only imagine, you know, a woman that has to go to the office and has to hide that she's pregnant, and then she's puking in the bathroom and she needs to sleep and she's expected to produce whatever it is in the office. Like my kindness, because this is like really something that our society needs to work on for to honoring the mothers, you know, especially in the first trimester. That is this big building up of the baby. After 3 months, the whole baby is fully formed. You know, it has a brain, the spine, the, you know, has the eyes, everything is there like in miniature. It, after 3 months, is just growing. So the first 3 months is like this big, big, important moment. And our society, unfortunately, it's not honoring it yet. Maybe after all this crazy times that we're living now with this quarantine, we're going to have an opportunity to see women in a better way when they are in their first trimester.
It's interesting. I'm almost hearing, like, we're talking about the initiation into motherhood. And Aishel, I'm wondering if your hair is scratching the microphone. And we're hearing some, like, audio feedback.
Okay.
Yeah, that probably will help. Okay, already better. Awesome, thank you. I'm hearing, like, this, there's an energetic initiation into motherhood and this physical initiation into motherhood. And they're not necessarily overlapped, right? Like, you were talking about having this experience of doing research and healing trauma from your past pregnancy that you chose not to carry to term, right? And having and really choosing this and advocating and putting all of these pieces into coming into the energetic embodiment of motherhood. And of course, you know, we know that people come into the physical motherhood in so many different ways, right? Maybe they were planning to, maybe they weren't. Maybe they've had the physical initiation, but we, you know, we know, either we know people in our lives or we know of people who might physically be mothers, but they've never really stepped into that role. And then they end up, like, there's this weird dynamic with their children where they're expecting their children to take care of them. And so there, it's like this mismatched dynamic. And then of course there are people who for whatever reason do not have physical children, either because they choose not to or that's not part of their life path. And yet there is this energetic initiation where they are holding this space and they are birthing projects and they're in this mother role. So, and of course this is applying to, you know, we could do a whole other episode on initiations of the masculine and fatherhood and all of this too. There's, you know, these rites of passage moments, but I want to just spell that out for people. We're talking not only about the physical process of having a child as being part of this initiation into motherhood, but there are many people, and I know many people in my life who have not had children, you know, they've chosen to not have children or they don't have children, and yet they've still very much stepped into that role of creatorship and nurturing and are very attuned to that motherly process. So please keep in mind as we're talking.
For sure. This.
Yeah.
So this is there's the initial initiation that's creating all of this, you know, turmoil and shadow work and questioning and all of the changes and all of these pieces. And then from there, can you speak a little bit more into what maybe you see as you're tracking some of the further initiations that you're going through this process?
Yeah, so I think, like starting the pregnancy is the big initiation, and then of course, like a continuation of the pregnancy and then labor and birth are other major initiations, in the sense that, labor and birth have been also processes that have been removed from our society. Like, oh, everything needs to be institutionalized. You have to go to the hospital. You need to have a doctor that's checking you every month and making sure that everything's okay and having ultrasounds. You know, I think more and more women now, and I am one of them, I decided to have a midwife, and I decided to have a natural, unmedicated home birth. And that was a big initiation. Even like my mother had three children in the hospital in C-section back in the days in Brazil. And when I told her, it's like, I'm gonna have my baby at home. And she was like, you're crazy. You know, it is dangerous. Like, you lost your mind. You know, you need to go to the hospital. I was like, no, I don't. And she's like, are you going to see the doctor? I said, no, I have a midwife. And she said, but don't you need to do all those tests? And I'm like, no, the baby's fine. I'm in tune with it, you know. So I had to, personally, into my initiation of motherhood, I had to go against my own mother, my biological mother, in the sense that, okay, I had to question her ways and say, I am trusting my body. I'm trusting this way. I am choosing. So it was also a part of an emancipation for me into that transition from the maiden into mother, that I am choosing my path and I am choosing how I want to bring my child into the world. So I think that initiation of a home birth was very important. And then also the initiation of creating a community of like-minded women who understand what you're doing, that and are judging you, and that are saying, okay, you want to do that, I'm going to be there for you and your postpartum, and I'm going to help you. And, you know, like, if you need help with your child, sometimes I'm there for you. So these are things that are important. And I think, talking from what Michelle said, you know, not only as having a child, when you have an artistic project or a social project or anything that you're mothering, to be able to choose to do it in ways that are aligned with your intuition, but also surrounding yourself with a support community that is going to help you to rise this child into existence, you know, this project, this art project, whatever it is that you're birthing. This is part of the initiation to stop thinking that you can do it all. You know, like, this is like, gets so clear when you have a child, like in my case, I had a baby, and it's like, you can't do it all by yourself. You need to surrender. You need to surrender that control and that need to be everything perfect, because it is messy, and you just have to accept it for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It's like the get over your shit about having it all figured out and being able to take care of everything yourself and having it all be perfect and beautiful. Right. So I feel like we as a society need some initiations in that regard.
Right. And I think we're getting them and starting to see some reprioritization of the way that we're engaging with our own, you know, our own life, and then with each other. And I think that what you're talking about here in terms of the community that you're creating, and one of the reasons that we have this podcast, and you know, we get a lot of feedback on the podcast, because there are so many people who, you know, your spiritual awakening is very much like, you know, going into labor, and but you have no idea what's going to come out on the other side. You know, you're like, okay, I hope it's a baby. I don't know what this thing's going to look like. But you're going through these pains and doubt and worry and fear and all of these things where you are having to go back and look at your past and look at the stories that were told to you from your mother and her mother and your ancestors about who you are, like intrinsically who you are, all of these stories that have been put on top of us, and how important it is to have those people in your life and to have communities and have these places that you can go to receive guidance and reflection and just love and support of, okay, this is what you're going through and it's okay. It might feel like the end of the world, but this is actually the birthing of something new. And when we have those reflective communities and we have those friends and we have those people that can show up for us like that, then we can start to, you know, change our viewpoint and see this beautiful possibility that we're birthing all of us together in this big mess that we're in, where it seems like, how are we going to get out of this thing? And everything feels painful and uncomfortable. And like, I just want it to be over, but I'm not sure I can do it. You know, that every woman pretty much who's given birth has that moment when they're like, I don't know if this is gonna, I don't think, can you just make it stop? Can you? And there's no way to make it stop. Like you are in this process. We're all in this process together and we're all birthing something. And there's no turning back. There's no going back, as much as we want to like turn off the light and be like, no, I'll not have that spiritual awakening, please. I'll not have that baby, please. It's like, no, you're already there. It's already coming through. And then as you're saying, like reorganizing ourselves to look at what is going to support me and what do I need and what are the structures in place that I need that are going to help me get through this? Because I can't do it alone.
No. Yeah. And I think something also that happened to me as an empowerment of this transition into motherhood was a lot of to do with my perception of pain, you know. And then we can speak metaphorically also about the pain and of seeing things and wishing them to be different, you know, like it's painful. Like when you see something and you wish it to be different, it creates this kind of internal clash that you're resisting. And when you're in labor, if you start resisting, you know, like, oh, I wish it would be different. I wish I would not be in pain. Like it just creates like this stuckness and this stagnation that it can really slow down the process of birthing. And again, metaphorically, there's nothing that is too much that we can't handle. Like everything that life is throwing at us is because we can handle it. You know, and I think in medicine journeys and in deep meditations, sometimes you're in that moment, oh my God, I took too much of a higher dose. And it's like, no, the medicine knows what you need. And if it's showing you, it's because you can take it. So in labor, when I would have this pain that I would categorize it as pain, I learned how to do a trick with my brain and say, well, it's just a strong sensation. And I can breathe through it. And so now every time there is like a chaotic kind of out of, you know, of my control situation, it was like, okay, this is just a strong situation that I am going through and it's going to get resolved. So it helps me to ease into the process and not create more resistance for it.
Love that.
And I think this is a big part of becoming a mother, is like really letting go of that resistance.
Mm. I mean, that just sounds great all around, right?
We all need a little bit more of that.
Oh yeah. Well, and Kat and I have talked about, and for those of you who have tuned into many episodes, you've heard us talk about resilience training and getting really good at being uncomfortable, right? Is usually one of our number one recommendations for people to how to navigate these inherently challenging aspects. And, you know, and looking at these initiations, essentially what we're talking about is these threshold experiences in this path, in the feminine path, right? This initiation from from young child into maidenhood, and then from maidenhood into motherhood, and, you know, and eventually from motherhood into cronehood, right? And with each threshold moment, there are things that are dying, right? There are things that we're losing. So we're losing our old identity. We're losing perhaps some of that naivete. We're losing, you know, our being the one who is always taken care of, right? The innocent. And then we're moving through this. Okay, there are things that are continuing and there are new things that are growing in every single initiation point. And that's inevitable because that's how an initiation works, is there are things that are die, there are things that continue, and there are things that grow. And as we're moving through these initiations, not only the initiations of the feminine path, but really any initiation or awakening process, Aishel, what you're talking about with this, you know, the resistance and the holding onto and the identification of pain as something is wrong or as a component of, you know, we're cause for concern, right? Then it's really holding onto that part that is dying, that part that is moving through this, through the birth canal of our own becoming, right? Moving through that portal experience. And so the regardless, again, coming back to one of my favorite pieces of advice for people on this path is get really good at being uncomfortable. And you'll save yourself a lot of concern, a lot of tension, a lot of turmoil, and be able to witness yourself and hold yourself and birth yourself through these initiations in a much more effective and productive way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also what is a trap is the stories we start to creating, you know, when there is like a pain and it's like, oh, I wish I would not be feeling this pain. Oh, poor me. Or, you know, like this victimhood sometimes mentality that can come into play, that is the big trap. Because when you're just saying, okay, this is just a sensation, no stories attached, it just goes and it passes, you know, it's the contraction and expansion. But if you attach a story to it, it is not going to end up well. You're just going to spiral into more and more pain and more victimhood. Yeah.
What would you say? I'm curious about the, you know, so we've talked about, speaking of your little one.
The initiation of being needed all the time.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
What would you say are some of the ways in which you've had identity transformation, and maybe in, since we're talking about with using the menstrual cycle as this microcosm of creation, how is your relationship to creation changed through this initiation into motherhood?
So I think I was feeling very vibrant and creative all through my second and third trimesters. And once the baby came, it was really like, again, like very inward. I did the quarantine. That is the actual quarantine after you give birth. It's also the same name, you know, the first 40 days that you take after the baby's born for healing your body and bonding and all that. And I think the first year, like this whole first year, it has been very challenging to birth anything else, like properly and fully. I came back doing my work and I'm serving and I have a few private clients. And now 1 year after having the birth, I feel that I'm getting ready to offer something else. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, it's accepting that we are not producing all the time, you know, and really honoring this. Sorry, did I cut?
No, you're
fine. Okay, now my battery is low, but so honoring the time, you know, like this postpartum time that our society wants to confine it to, a postpartum is only like 1 month after the birth. No, postpartum is like after you have a baby forever, kind of, you know, and readapting and recalibrating like my own personal time. It's like every time I have a free time for myself now is like, oh my God, what am I going to do with this time? You know, like, am I going to take a nap? Or am I going to take a bath? Am I going to do yoga or meditate? You know, you really have to get much more resourceful. And my time, you know, like changed my perception of time. It's like before I was like, oh, I have the whole morning, I can do this, you know. It's like, no, now I have 20 minutes and I have to make the most out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. And you know, the thing is just like learning a new way of being, and also being sleep deprived. Even though my baby sleeps pretty well, but it's, I wake up in the middle of night to nurse. So it is, you know, it is challenging. Mm-hmm. But I feel that anything that I'm going to birth now, it has to carry that depth of all of the birth experience that I had. I feel like every time we learn something, it has to resonate with everything we know. So I'm still in the process of restructuring myself in the middle of all the perception and knowledges and everything that I've been constructing around myself. Yeah. And now I just even shed another layer. I had been living in Los Angeles for the past 3 years, and now moving to Central Oregon, kind of reinventing myself again. And I personally find it very fun because as an artist, I don't kind of like to just have one kind of expression. It's good to have change. I am a change enthusiast.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Beautiful. Well, thank you. And I know, speaking of birthing projects, you were mentioning before we started recording that you have a project in the works of a way that you can support people. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, it's something that I've been putting together for a while, and I feel it's going to be really helpful for women who want to learn and to honor their cycles. It's going to be a guided journey in the group with the master classes about our cycles and the archetypes and all those things, but also calls that are in the circle format where we can exchange and be witnessed and yeah, it's going to be lovely. Like, I'm going to give all the information I have about cycle tracking, but also movement, breathing practices, herbs, nutrition, very, very, very comprehensive ways of honoring our bodies and the wisdom of our bodies.
That sounds amazing. That sounds such a deep journey into self and being in presence with self and understanding yourself so much more, and this way that you create, right? Tapping into the way that you create, as we've been talking about. That sounds beautiful. So how can people find you and connect with you?
I think the best ways right now are through my website, that I believe you can put in the comments, or and my Instagram account for direct messages, or Facebook. I am in those three channels mostly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll put the link in the text, but also just because I know people can see your name from the video, Aichele is Aichele. So if you're searching for Aichele, and your website's just aichele.com, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So aichele.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So that's in the audio as well. And there will be a link too. And I do, before we officially close, I do want to say, I know we're talking about initiations of the feminine and we're kind of skipping the Crone initiation. That's not because we're not aware of it. It's because we only have an hour or so to talk about a lot of juicy material. So I think it's fair to say we're going to revisit the initiation into cronehood at another time when
we have an actual real crone.
An actual elder, right? Someone who is qualified, right, from personal experience, rather than us saying, I think it's going to be this. Who knows? So we would never put words in the mouth of anyone that way. So please know, yes, cronehood is part of this too, and it is on purpose that we're leaving that for another time. But I shall thank you so much. This has been a really, really wonderful conversation. And I'm so glad that you gave so many amazing tools and practices. And it's really great to get to know more about you and this process of becoming and deep wisdom that you're sharing with everybody. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And
yeah, thank you for your time. And enjoy Oregon and your new next initiation.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you so much. And I just want to send my love off to all mothers and mothers-to-be, and especially this time. I have a few friends who are pregnant right now, and this uncertain times is very brave. And the souls that are choosing to come into this planet, they are true light warriors. And I'm excited for what we're going to be birthing collectively together. So happy Mother's Day to everyone. And stay tuned for this journey into the feminine wisdom cycles that I'm going to be putting up pretty soon. Thank you.
Beautiful. Yes, thank you. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, and for all of you, please do subscribe. You can subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher. You can find all our episodes on Spotify, anywhere that you, pretty much anywhere you think to look for Shaman Sister Sessions. But please leave us a review. We love any support that you can offer to help us share these messages with anyone who needs to hear it. So please feel free to share if there's someone that you know, maybe a mom-to-be or someone who's going through this process that you're thinking, okay, they really need to hear this, then please share. And if you feel called to support our work, we do produce this podcast for free. It is our gift to you. And there are production costs associated with that. So if you feel inclined to offer us a financial donation to help ensure that we can continue to produce this, you can become a patron of our work at patreon.com/shamansistersessions. That's patreon.com/shamansistersessions. Or send us a donation on PayPal to shamansistersessions@gmail.com. And as far as circling back with me, you can go to my website, joyofenergy.com. I have one-on-one support for embodiment and rewilding. And I do have an online community called Lightworker Portal that has lots of tools and resources and practices and amazing stuff for you that's starting at just $4.99 a month. So the price of a cup of coffee per month that you can have access to all of this. And you can again join that from my website, joyofenergy.com. Kat, how can people touch base with you?
I am working on a new membership platform right now, and which is going to be a monthly membership with meditations and practices and little mini courses and lots of content and and coaching calls every month and getting together and forming more of a collective community. So that's what I'm working on right now. It might be out by the time this comes out, so be on the lookout for it.
Mm-hmm. KatherineBird.com.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks everybody. Thank you so much, Aishel. It was really great to have you on here. Be well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.